Good morning. So we're starting a month of fasting. This is a topic that we've talked about a lot in this church. And there's many different kinds of fasts. I'm not going to get into really all the kinds. What my goal is today is to talk about the heart as it pertains to fasting. Because if we're not in the right place and have the right heart and the right mindset going into it, the fast really has no power and has no meaning besides what we think we want it to have. One of the things about fasting, I was trying to look it up, trying to see if there's anything I could really get in it out of the Hebrew and the Greek on the word fast, and really it just means like an abstain from food and so there's not really much there except for it is what it is, an abstinence from food. But the reason for fasting, The main reason that we should fast is to grow closer in a relationship with God. Sometimes it's to we have something on our plate and we want His guidance throughout the course of it. Sometimes we want His leadership in that. If you want to take Esther. Esther was faced with a big task in front of her. She had the people of Israel that were going to be killed and wiped out. And she had to make a decision that was really tough, and she had to go before the king, which could cause her to be killed. So what she did is she knew that the life of all the Israelites stood on the line. So she asked them to go into a fast with her for guidance. So that way when she went before the king, God could guide her in her words and her step. Because she could literally be killed for it. But she had to have the courage to go out forth and do that. So that's why she called the people to the fast as she did. And through that, God had given her the strength and the courage to do what needed to get done and the people of Israel be saved. There's good examples like that. There's also some other examples in the Bible that we can take of kind of what not to do for fasting. Because you always want to look at because some people ask, well, how do I know I'm doing it right? How do I know I'm doing it wrong? One of the fasts that you can look at that was wrong is in 1 Samuel when Saul had asked his people to not eat till all his vengeance was paid and was made. And then Jonathan goes and eats the honeycomb, and his people are like, well, you're not supposed to be doing that. And he explains to his people where this is wrong. And Saul puts himself in a position where he should have technically killed his son because of his motives of trying to be like, hey, we got to fast because I want all my vengeance done, and completely forgetting the fact that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Saul put a fast out there for his own purpose, for his own priorities. He didn't put it out there anything to do with God. It all had to do with Saul. And so there's a kind of a distinct line in there of a good fast and a bad fast. Esther, when she was fasting for the people of Israel. She was fasting for the people to be saved. You take Nehemiah. When he had fasted, he had gone before God. He had tried to put himself in the right place with God. His heart was there. He understood the things that Israel had done that were wrong, and that's why he was fasting. He was trying to get themselves back aligned with God, which is one of the reasons to fast. It's because if we're not sitting in alignment with God, it's one way for him to show us where weaknesses are. Because say if we go for a week without food, then all of a sudden if we try to drop something out of our lives and it's saying, oh, you gotta have me, you gotta have me, you gotta have me, it's really easy to say that and to pick up that that thing is more important than God. And I know that's a hard line for some of us to look at and to think like that, but even you take Jesus. He was talking to the woman at the well, and he got his disciples came back up to him. And when they came back up to him, they were like, hey, you need food. We got food. Well, I don't need to eat. And they're talking amongst themselves. Well, who gave him food? He said, well, my food is to do the will of the Father who sent me. And so you got these different areas of fast, and you got the heart of the people, and you've got the motivation behind why they're doing it. And I mean, there's a lot of different places you can look. You can look at one of the parts of the fast that was interesting. David. This was really kind of neat and unique because you see where David's heart is at, because he had a great understanding. When God had told, or when it came to that David's one son was going to die because of the whole thing with Bathsheba, and David ended up fasting and in prayer trying to get God to move on his behalf. And after he said what was going to happen because of what he had did with Bathsheba, and the son was dying, and David sitting there in sackcloth and ashes, hoping that God would have mercy on him, and the son dies, and then all of a sudden David quits fasting. He gets up like everything's okay, and they looked at him and they just asked him, why are you doing this? Why are you getting up? And David just had a clear understanding. My time was to hope that the Lord would be gracious. But he quit fasting when he understood that, okay, he's in heaven. He says, I'm going to see him one day. He can't come to me, but one day I'll see him. He had an understanding of when to put it off. So there's many different places in the Bible where we can go to and we can see the different kinds of fasts, how they affected the people in it. But once again, it really comes down to the heart of why do we fast, and what is a fast supposed to look like? So I'm going to go to one of my favorite ones that talks about fasting, which is Isaiah 58, 3 and 5. It says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. It is a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? So the people in Isaiah at this time, they're going through all their stuff. They're asking God to move on their behalf. I know I've talked about this a lot. This is just a really easy one to talk about. Because we tend to do the same thing. We're fasting, we're trying to get God to move on our behalf, and we're wondering why there's no movement forward. Well, it's because of our heart's not in the right place. We want him to move, but yet we're still living for ourselves. We're fasting, we're giving up things in our life, but we're only partly committed. The other part of our lives, we're spending still slandering one another. We're still talking against our bosses. We're still talking against those we're working with. We're still giving, people at restaurants, talking to them harshly because of how they should be better on, waiting on us. We're not being the light that God has called us to be. And it's really kind of a difficult place to get into if we want him to move on our behalf, if we're constantly finding what we want to do and living for it. If we want God to move on our behalf, but we're not willing to spend the time with him, we're not willing to do the work and to get in and to read and to seek after him. Instead, you know, if somebody, you know, one of the things that comes up later is if somebody, one of our relatives needs help, if somebody's got something going on, we're like, you know what, I'm too busy. I want to go do something else today. I really don't want to do that, so I'm going to go do something else. And it's because we're caring about ourselves more than we're caring about the people around us. God has given us an opportunity to step into someone's life and to speak a word of knowledge, a word of encouragement, you know, but yet we choose not to because of where we're at. And in the meantime, we're fasting, asking God to move on our behalf. We're trying to get some forward progress, but yet we got people out there asking us for help and we're unwilling to. That's not a good place to be in. God will not reward that. God rewards those who seek him diligently. There's constant times where God's putting things in our path. He's told a lot of us on what he wants us to do, how he wants us to take care of people. But yet, we fast and we ask him to move and we ask him to do things. And he doesn't do it because we're not willing. You know, and it's one of those things of God is constantly trying to get us to move, get us in the right place. He's whispering in our ear, I want you to do this, and we don't because we're too busy with our own thing. Our heart is more about ourselves and what we want and our desires. Sometimes we want so bad to get whole, we don't even think about God, we think about ourselves. Getting whole sometimes isn't about him, it's about us. And when we have it like that, we'll never get into a place of wholeness. We want God to move on our behalf. We want to be quote unquote fixed. We want our lives to change. Then we have to make our lives about him. We have to be willing to give things up. We have to be willing to ask ourselves what our motivation is behind what we do in our everyday life. Is it because I want to draw closer to God? Is it because I want to make a living and become the best and be looked at high on everybody, by everybody? Is it because I want to, you know, be looked at as one of those people that are good and kind? Or is it because I want to reflect the glory of God? So that way other people can see my Creator. There's different reasons and different aspects why we fast. Sometimes it's because of us and what we want. And other times, it's genuinely for God because we want to see him. We want to grow closer to him. We don't want to see him just because we should say, I want to see God because I want to see God. Not because so I can tell other people that I've seen God, because then you'll never see him. But if you want to say, I want to see God because he's created me for a purpose. I want to learn all about him because he has purpose for me. He has purpose for my life. And I want to figure out what that is. Then you will find him because your motivation is in the right spot. And then when you fast and you call upon his name, he'll answer. That's the hardest part for some of us to get our heads around. Because we can talk about doing this stuff all day, but if our head and our minds aren't in the right spot, we'll never get there. If it's there because we want popularity by other people and other churches to look at you and say, holy crap, what is that church doing? Or, you know what? I'm just doing this because I want God's glory to shine. Not about me, not about us, not about anything, but I want God's glory to shine above all. And then live it like that. There's a big difference. For some people, it's a real fine line to walk. But if you ask yourselves and put it in your heart, why am I walking this way? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And while I'm doing this stuff, am I also taking care of the stuff that God's put over here and been nudging me to do? Am I taking care of those who are in need of help? Am I looking for those who are hurting? Am I keeping my eyes and ears open to the Spirit of God as I'm going throughout my day, waiting and looking for those things and those opportunities to speak life into people? Because when we do that, that's when fasting really becomes something instead of nothing. That's when God really starts listening, when we start asking. Because we're saying, God, this isn't about me, this is about you. That's when our life starts to change. That's when life begins. So if you pull up the next part, Isaiah 58, 6, and 7, and 9, and 10. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourselves from your own flesh? Then your light will shine forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call on the Lord, and he will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from the midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall shine in the darkness, and your darkness shall break as a noonday. One of the ways to get to that is to ask God, I believe, for his eyes, so that way we can see people as he does. Everybody's got a purpose. Everybody needs a touch and needs to understand who God is. Do we look at everybody that we see as another soul, another person who has purpose, who doesn't see it? I don't care how they look, how they react, how they talk. Can we see them as people that God has a purpose for? Because it's hard to do this stuff if we don't see and understand how people are. If we see somebody who's speaking of a word of wickedness and we say, I don't want to associate with that person, and we say, you know what, there's somebody that's hungry but I can't do nothing, or I'm just too busy, or if we see somebody that's starving and in need of something, but we're just too busy, are we not relying on the God who has everything to help if we allow him? I mean, God's got purpose, and it's up to us to ask him to see that purpose and to understand what it is he has for others. It's different for everybody, and that's why we have to understand the asking of God. And when we're in prayer and fasting, ask him to reveal these things to us, to let us see and understand people for who they are. Let us to be able to speak life. Because if we see somebody at work, okay, and say we're in a time of fasting, we're supposed to be a people who are upright, we're supposed to be a people of God, reflecting him wherever we go, wherever we walk, and we see somebody who is not doing something right, we see him making bad comments, off the mark conversations, and we get angry with that person. Instead of looking at that person who has purpose, who doesn't see who God has called him to be, who doesn't understand what it means to have a relationship with God, we don't ask God for a word of encouragement or a word of knowledge to speak into him to change him so that he can be changed. Instead, we get angry, we get frustrated, we get mad. And God has called us to more than that. He has. And through fasting and growing closer to God, it opens up that possibility and that door. if we're not paying attention to ourselves, our desires, but we're looking to him and what he really wants us to do. And, you know, I know this is something that I know can be a struggle. It can be a struggle for me sometimes. But at the end of the day, if we sit back and we ask, okay, God, if we just sit back, we ask him, God, what did I miss today? You know, it's kind of like apostles talked before, that daily consecration during our fast. If we do that during our fast and be open to him and asking him, okay, God, what is it? We're trying to grow closer to you and show our sincerity and let him show us our weaknesses, because that's the easiest time to see weaknesses is when we're trying to give things up, because we'll see how much stuff really controls us. Say if we're trying to give up media, we're trying to give up our phone, we'll see that control that it has over us, because like, man, I really kind of want to grab that today. Man, I really want to, you know, go and do this particular thing, but yet God's nudging us over here. You're supposed to talk to that person. You don't have to rush home and watch that movie. It's showing of a place of how that has more control over us than God does. We want to go home and watch the movie. Well, maybe we should be fasting that movie or that TV series, because we got to get home and we got to watch that. Well, that's got control over us. That's what we need to be fasting. Because instead of talking to that person that is down there and needing a word of encouragement, we're really quickly just to walk out and go see her movie. Go have her ice cream, you know. And I just ask that's one of the things that we pay attention to really during this time is God's voice and his leading of why are we truly fasting? Get it around our heads. Is it for us, or is it for him and for others? What's the purpose behind it? And if you say it's for him, play it through your head. What is the true reasons I say it's for him? Is it for him so I look better in the place of where I'm at? Am I saying it's for him because people will like me better? Am I saying it's for him because I really want to know and understand who he is and his plans that he's got for my life? And it's being true and honest with ourselves that brings the power to fasting that it's meant to have. A consecration of our inner being, of getting rid of the junk in our lives and letting God do that. So that way we can hear when he's calling. And when we call and when we need help, we're in that place where he listens and he answers. He says, you know what? You're my servant. Every time I ask you to go do something, every time I whisper in your ear to go help that person, every time somebody's in need, I can count on you to go over there and be a helping hand. I'll listen to your request today, and I'll make it be known. There's a big difference. And I'll just say a preface to that as well. Don't do it because of that. That's just an outcome that comes from following him. That's an outcome for being in proper standing with him. Don't do it for anything else than you want to be closer to him, than you want a better understanding of who he is. The other stuff will come when you do it for the right reasons and when you do it because of him. And when you listen to him because you know that he wants your relationship with those people as well. You don't do it for any accolades. You don't do it for anything. You do it because he wants your relationship with them. Because without him, regardless if they understand it or not, they're hurting. And I was talking with somebody this week, and they had just lost their wife, and they're like, this is hell. I'm completely separated from my wife. And it was kind of difficult conversation. He says, what do you know? And he's like, because I know where she's going. And he says, I want to be there. And I told him, I says, I know this is going to be, this might be a little harsh, it might not be. I says, but, I says, that separation you're feeling from your wife, that what you're calling hell, I says, that's a glimpse of what eternal separation from God will feel like. That's just a little glimpse of what that'll feel like. I says, so I can help you with that relationship. I says, but if we, so, and my point to that story is there's going to be so many people out there that are going to be in that place. Do we love them enough and love God enough to bring them along and to show them who He really is? Or do we care more about ourselves than the people that God's put around us? If you want to bring up Matthew 16 and 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad contentious, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. This, once again, it's showing a thing of fasting isn't supposed to be a place where we have people looking at us, oh, you're fasting. You know, that's cool. Well, you know, it might be, but we're supposed to keep that internally. There's times where, like in Esther, that the whole church will be called to a fast, or where we'll do that. But if we're fasting and it's something that God's got us working on and that we're working through, we don't need to be telling people at work that we're fasting. We don't need to be telling others around us that we're fasting. It's something that should be between us and God. Or if God has put a person in her life that's an accountability partner that maybe we talk with them about. But that's it. We don't go through and make it known to everybody. Oh, I'm, you know, so whatever today because I'm fasting and I really, you know, wish it was this and, you know, I'm struggling. And if we're doing that, we're once again, we've got the wrong mindset. We've got the wrong reasons that we're doing it. It's a fight to fast. It's a fight, but it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be a time where we're understanding that we're taking out and we are stepping closer to God. Because as we're taking that stuff out and as we're, you know, not eating or as we're not, it's a time where God can show us what He has for us. It's a time where He can show us what He has for other people. It's a time that He can show us our weaknesses, that He can say, hey, this is a point on your life and it didn't come through until you started fasting. I want to help you with that. I want to help you get past that. But if we're not open to that and we're just saying, man, we're not going to see it. We're not going to understand it. So we have to be willing to go about our day, listen to God, ask Him what He has for us, and be open to Him changing those things that have been ingrained within us for a long time, those habits that we've held on to. Because He'll show them, He'll reveal them if we're willing to step out of them and change them. So I guess those are just the main points I'm going to leave. I believe it's one of those things where we should fast regularly, privately and internally. And remember as we're fasting to take care of those people who God has put in front of us. Make sure it's not about us. Make sure it's about Him and others. but also be open when God shows you that I'm going to take care of this in your life, that we praise him for it. When he shows us a weakness, that we say, okay, Lord, let's deal with it. Because when we make it about him, we make it about others, he'll reveal those things in our life that need to be fixed, that need to be changed, and he'll take care of them. But it's about putting ourselves in the right position before God, and that's what fasting helps us do, putting ourselves in the right position before God, to know him, to get to understand his will for our lives and for the lives of those around us, so that way we can speak life according to his word and his will.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we just come before you thankful, Father. We look forward, Father, to this month for what you have for us, Lord, as you're pushing us deeper. Father, that is the bottom line with fasting, Father, and it's just it's a tool, Lord, that you have used and that you will continue to use to draw the believer to you. God, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We look forward to what you have for us this month. And God's people said, amen.